Hi, I am Pinakin Munshi. Today we are going to cover Chapter 8, which deals with risk management in rural supply chains. So what are the learning objectives that we have in this chapter? Define what is risk management. So we are going to define what is risk management. What are the various types of risks in the agricultural supply chain? We will try and understand the different components of the risk management framework. Also, we will elaborate on the different methods or tools which are used for risk management, understand the concept of crisis management and various strategies used for the same, understand the concept of a communication plan and know the components of the same. Also, understand the concept of a contingency plan and know the components of the same. Understand the meaning of building resilience in rural supply chains. Describe different ways or strategies for building resilience in a rural supply chain. So, identifying and mitigating of risks. So, supply chain risk management is the process of identifying, assessing, and mitigating risk in the supply chain. So, first you need to identify what are the risks which are possible or which are probable. Assess the impact of those. And then you need to mitigate. Mitigate in the sense that you need to find means of developing resilience or overcoming the risk. So in a rural supply chain, the supply chain risk management can help ensure business continuity. That means it will avoid any interruptions in the business and thus build resilience. So some common type of supply chain risk. What are they? You have economic risks, environmental risk, political risks, ethical risks, financial, geopolitical, supply, demand. I'm putting both of them separately. Cybersecurity and operational. And we will look at all these in the coming slides. Risks can be both internal as well as external. Internal is, you know, internal to the business. To the rural supply chain or the business. External are external factors which are beyond the control of the supply chain. So let's look at these aspects. Firstly, what is risk management? What are the type of risk? What are the components of risk management or rather the framework? And some of the most commonly used tools for risk management, or that is basically to assess the risk or the impact of the risk on the business. So risk management in rural supply chain is a critical aspect. I mean, that's understandable. Anything which can cause interruptions in the operations and cause disruptions, they are critical, to the business, to the functioning of the business. Rural supply chains face a unique set of risks that can impact both production and delivery. And this risk can stem from the rural context, mainly because of we have seen some of the disadvantages that rural business face, due to their unique positioning, the geographical location, etc., the available infrastructure, etc. So that is because of the geographical isolation, the infrastructure limitations, and even in terms of climate vulnerabilities. So we will look at some of these factors as we go forward. Effective risk management helps mitigate these challenges and ensure that rural supply chains remain resilient and efficient. So how we identify and mitigate the risk, we prioritize, the risk also and their impact, will actually build resilience into the rural supply chain and also make them more efficient. And we will see how we can do that. So let's look at what are the major risks or categories of the risk that rural business can face. So first and foremost is the weather related. So you have either a deficit or excess of rainfall. You have extremes of temperature. And as you know, the agri products are very, very sensitive to these things. Many times we have seen that you have unseasonal rains, and you must have heard that crops are affected, because you know when the crops are not supposed to be having rains, and if it rains, then there is a problem. Second is the natural disasters. So you have floods, or you have droughts, you may have storms, hurricanes, cyclones, typhoons. We have here volcanic activity. I mean, fortunately, we in India don't see this kind of an occurrence. But these are the various kinds of natural calamities or disasters that can, happen. And these are very much detrimental for the rural businesses. The third kind of risk is the biological or the environmental risk. So you have a lot of, diseases, especially when we are talking of livestock, etc. Or there are pest infestations, etc. when it comes to crop. I mean, recently we have seen that in certain parts of North India, the cotton crop is affected by something called as a pink worm infestation. So what it does is, instead of the cotton being white, you will get a cotton which is slightly pinkish in color. And these worms actually also cause the yield of cotton to drop, which means that it's a loss to the farmers. So there can be this kind of biological or environmental risks associated with the rural business. Market-related risk. So changes in the demand or the supply of the rural products or the agro products, etc. Also, it could be the fluctuation in the prices. That means in the market, for some reason, if there is a drop in demand, you may find that the prices may fall, and this is a risk because the crop may not become viable. So there could be market-related risks also. There could be certain regulations which come in, which requires the crop to be free from certain kind of chemical use, like pesticides, insecticides, etc. So these, you must have heard that a couple of years ago, mangoes which were being exported from India to mainly US and Europe, there was an issue of certain chemicals being found on the mango, which were used basically for repelling of the insects or pests, etc. And because of this, entire consignments were rejected. So these kind of risks do exist, and these are more related to regulations, etc. Logistical and infrastructural risks. So changes in transport, communication, energy cost. Let us say the fuel costs are going up, or even sometimes because of the monopoly, etc. You find that the transportation cost, etc., may go up. So these kind of risks can play a havoc with the rural business. And since many of the goods could be perishable goods, if they are not transported in time, it could pose a major risk for the business. Management and operational risks. So poor management decisions. Selection of the wrong kind of materials, etc. Selection of poor quality of material in terms of seeds, tools, implements, etc. So these can actually cause major shortfall in terms of the yield, etc. So there are management and operational risks. The seed quality, etc. I mean, many times we assume that when farmers actually sow the seeds, the crops will grow. But if the seeds are of a poor quality, or they are very old, they may not germinate, or you may have a very low yield. So these kind of risks, the management or operational risks, do exist. Public policy and institutional risk. So changing of monetary or fiscal policies, tax policies, etc. Thankfully, on the agro products, we don't have taxes currently at the moment. But the risk is, in case there are certain policies which come in, like today, even in India, if you have any agri produce which is not packed, which is sold in loose condition, there are no taxes, etc. But if they are sold in packaged condition with a branding, etc., then there are taxes applicable. So these kind of policies can sometimes affect the business, So they may have to alter their business practices to overcome some of these limitations. Political risks. So security related risk, threats to property or life. Political risk can be strikes, war, you know, unrest, which could be, you know, like intrastate, interstate. So these kind of disputes, etc., they also threaten to disrupt the businesses, the logistics, the movement of material, availability of labor, etc. So these would be part of the political risks. So what are the various components of a risk management framework? Let's look at some of them. First is risk identification. What are the likely risks? What are the risks which are relevant? The second one is assessment, to assess what is the probability that this risk will occur. Because like we said, volcano, I mean, the probability will be very, very low, right? Because India is not a country which is, you know, very active in terms of volcanic activity. But there are other kind of risks. Like, for example, we have very high risk of floods. We have very high risk of drought. So these, you have to look at the probability of occurrence of a risk and what is the impact the risk will have. The third step is the mitigation of the risk. So here you need to have strategies to mitigate the risk. So in case these things happen, the risk does occur, the event does occur, then how do you mitigate those risks? How do you overcome? The next step is building resilience. So you have systems, you have strategies in place whereby you are making your business or supply chain resilient, which means that you can brave the event and you can overcome the event without major disruption or major impact. Monitoring and response. You need to constantly monitor the risks so that you are better prepared to face the risk and you are able to cope up with the risk. Also, you may come across new risks which you have not foreseen. So you need to constantly sharpen your you know, assessment of the risk. Also, the mitigation strategies need to be updated. Collaboration and stakeholder engagement. So naturally, when you're doing the building of the resilience or mitigation of the strategies, etc., it is a joint effort. It's a collaborative effort with the stakeholders. So it is necessary to collaborate with all the stakeholders and ensure that you are creating strategies which jointly you tackle. Sustainability and long-term planning. So sustainability is the new mantra, and the whole purpose is to have a circular economy, to have minimum waste, to minimum impact on the environment, etc., and to have a long-term planning, a long-term resilience which needs to be built in. So the first step we come to is the risk identification. So in risk identification, we actually start by listing down what are the potential risks that could disrupt the supply chain. And these could be the climate-related change or risks, the economic risks, the operational risk that we talked about, you know, some of the possibilities, supply risk. So, you know, because of disruptions, because of floods, etc., you may find that you're not able to get the supplies. Even the crops can fail if there is a drought, if there is a flood, because if it's a crop, you know, for example, paddy needs a lot of water, you know, when it is planted. Now, if there are no rains and there is no water, then you can suffer. Likewise, if there is a drought, you can have a problem because, you know, many crops, they require water like sugarcane, etc. So if you don't have the water supply, then the crops will fail. So various kinds of risks which are there need to be identified. All the risks which are possible need to be listed down so that we can assess their impact. Also, you have the political and the regulatory risks. Regulatory because, you know, the new regulations are coming, new requirements in terms of the what we call as the product stewardship or safety, product safety. That means use of certain insecticides, pesticides, they are being prohibited. More and more people are going towards the bio insecticides, etc., which are harmless and which are extracted, you know, from natural products like neem, etc. So the second step is the risk assessment. So once the risk has been identified, our next step is to assess what is the possibility, what is the probability of that risk happening, and in the event that the risk does materialize, what is the impact on the supply chain? How severe the impact will be on the supply chain? So what does it involve? So first we said is the probability. I mean, how likely it is? Is it something which is highly probable, or which is something which can happen once in a lifetime kind of a thing? Like if you take the case of COVID, I mean, that's once in a lifetime kind of a occurrence that you have. It is a risk because, you know, I mean, COVID did impose a lot of restrictions in terms of, you know, gathering of people or movement of material with the lockdown, etc. Second is the impact analysis, understanding the magnitude of the disruption the risk could cause. That means what is the severity of the risk? That means in case it does happen, how severe and what is the monetary impact that it can have on the supply chain? Vulnerability analysis. So identifying the weak points in the supply chain that are more susceptible to certain risk. So for example, you know, I mean, you find that flooding. Now, the supply chain is basically located in an area where there is no fear of, you know, flooding. But your logistics can be affected because the route or the roads to the urban market that you are accessing, they pass through certain areas which are vulnerable to, let's say, flooding. And it's likely that your logistics may get disrupted. So you need to know what are the weak links, and there could be many. It could be even like in case of flooding, etc. Are your warehouses safe? Are they, I mean, safe enough so that, you know, the goods or the grains stored in the warehouses or the perishables stored in the warehouses will not get damaged, will not be lost? The third part is the risk mitigation strategies. So once you have identified the risks and you have assessed the impact of the risk, it is now time to actually find means of minimizing the impact of this risk or how you can overcome these risks. So what are the strategies that we have as far as risk mitigation or avoidance is concerned? So one is diversification. Encouraging farmers to diversify crops or livestock can reduce dependence on a single commodity. So crops meaning if you have crops which are highly dependent on water, then you can also go for crops which are, you know, which can withstand drought. Or you have crops which are, you know, don't require much of water, etc., but you have flooding, etc. So you can also look at crops which are more resilient to flooding, etc. So that means you are not going to lose your produce because of the flooding, etc. Livestock, let us say that you are running a poultry, etc., and poultry are highly susceptible to bird flu and this kind of things. There are instances where, you know, the poultry can be wiped out overnight because of a disease. And before, you know, the people come to know, the entire livestock is, you know, finished. So you can diversify into even within the livestock, maybe cattle, maybe, you know, things like goat, sheep, etc., so that there is a diversification and the impact can be lessened. Improved infrastructure. So like we said that in case you have vulnerabilities, like in terms of the access to the city, there are bridges, etc., which go underwater during the flooding or during the monsoon. So maybe the infrastructure needs to be improved. Maybe the road conditions need to be improved so that, you know, the disruptions do not happen. Your storage facilities, I mean, you can look at the design of the storage facilities, even if you have to raise the flooring in the storage facility to actually ensure that even when there is a flooding, there is no water ingress into the storage facility. So this kind of infrastructure improvement can be undertaken. Access to insurance. So we have already seen that there are now a lot of insurance covers which are available to the farmer, which cover, you know, natural calamities, disasters, and also crop failures, you know, because of disease or other natural causes. So this kind of insurance can also help the business or the supply chain from, you know, reeling under a loss, because at least part of the loss can be recouped. Technology integration, use of digital tools such as weather forecasting app, mobile platform for market information. So, you know, in terms of weather, whether there is a likelihood of heavy rains, etc., many places, you know, you still have people who are growing exotic crops, etc., using greenhouses, etc. So even using some of these techniques to protect the crop can help, you know, especially when there are unseasonal rains also, even in terms of the drought or even in terms of flooding, etc. Forecast, if it is known well in advance, maybe some steps can be taken to mitigate the risk. Market information, this is main related to, you know, the supply demand, the prices ruling in the market, etc. And we'll see how we can mitigate some of this risk as we go forward. Collaboration with local stakeholders. So partnership with government bodies, NGOs, agricultural cooperatives, so they can pull the resources, knowledge, and technologies to better manage the risk. So like one risk could be that in a particular season, you know, when it's a harvest season, everyone is trying to sell the produce in the market. And at that time, you know, the prices of the commodities may actually fall because of oversupply. Now, when you have the cooperatives, etc., maybe if you have cold storages, that is cold chain, or even you have the warehouses, etc., for grains, you can hedge the material. That means you can store the material and wait for the prices in the market to firm up. Because when, you know, everyone is trying to sell into the market, you will certainly not get the best of the price, or you may actually have to sell it at a very low price. So if you have this kind of a facility which is developed through the help of cooperatives or with the help of stakeholders, like for example the wholesalers or the grocery chains, etc., with whom there is a partnership. So having a facility like this can help them in overcoming this kind of market situations. Building resilience. So in rural supply chains, resilience refers to the ability to withstand and recover from a disruption. So how well you are able to withstand the calamity or the event, the risk event, and recover quickly with minimum disruption, that is resilience. So you say that you are very resilient if it has little or no impact, and the resilience is low if there is going to be substantial disruption. And the whole objective here is to make the supply chain resilient so that there is minimum effect felt. So building resilience involves capacity building. So training rural workers and farmers in risk management, adaptive agricultural techniques, and new technologies. Even resilience is, you know, like for example, when you have information about the market prices, etc., agricultural produce, there is a window within which the harvesting has to be done, especially for perishable goods, etc. So you can always time your harvesting or time your, weeding of the crop so that you can get the best price in the market. So when you find that the prices are low in the market, you actually defer your harvesting and you actually time it in such a way when the prices are better. So capacity building, strategic stockpiling. So this is what we talked about, you know, in the warehousing. So maintaining strategic reserves of essential goods. So even things like the seeds, fertilizers, emergency food supply, and even the finished product. So, you know, keeping stockpiles. So in case there is a disruption and you are not able to get the seeds or fertilizer because of disruption in logistics, etc., you are able to, you know, cater to your requirement without much disruption or interruptions. Flexible contracts. So creating a flexible contract with the suppliers or buyers, which can allow for adjustment in case of unexpected disruption. So instead of having a fixed quantity contract, etc., you can have a flexible contract, which will allow you to procure more quantities as and when required, rather than having a fixed contract, which is like a transactional contract. So monitoring and response. So continuous monitoring is essential to ensure that risk management strategies are effective. So this is what we talked about, that you need to continuously see whether your strategies are adequate or not. And you need to keep on sharpening your strategies. And this would also partly depend upon the actual situations when you face them, how you have faced the situation, what were the learnings from it. And this can be actually used for course correction. So what does it include? Early warning systems. So setting up systems that can detect early signs of risk. One example we saw was the weather forecast, so that you know that there is a risk of, let's say, impending drought, or there is a risk of flooding because of heavy rains, etc. Market trends. So we talked about the prices, you know, when there is a risk of low prices in the market. So and you know that how people have been using this to advantage. You must have seen that when the mangoes actually start coming into the market, initially the prices are very high. And you will see that many people, they start harvesting the mango a little early. I mean, even before the fruit has really ripened, they start pushing the product into the market. And sometimes they are using certain unethical means, you know, like for ripening the mangoes, etc., so that they can fetch a higher price. Now, this is the negative aspect, but the same thing can be used in a more positive way by actually studying the market trends and deciding when to place the product in the market. Again, here, you can use the techniques like the cold chain or the warehousing facility, etc., where you can store the goods and wait for the right prices in the market. So basically, the early warning signs. So when you know that, you know, the market prices are going to be low, then this is a sign that, you know, you need to hold on and maybe stock the material and, you know, take them to the market a little later. Real-time tracking. So implementing technology for tracking products throughout the supply chain can provide real-time data to anticipate delays or disruption. We have already seen this tracking of the vehicles, that is the logistics part. So you can actually predict and, you know, even share the information with your buyers. Contingency planning. So having a clear plan in place for how to respond to disruptions. So in case a disruption occurs, what are we going to do? How are we going to overcome? So this needs to be thought out well in advance. We have to look at the various alternatives which are available, because there is no clear one single answer. So you have to look at the alternatives when it comes to inputs. So what are the sourcing options? Like, for example, for the inputs, you have been normally getting the inputs, let's say, from the nearest urban center. Now, in an emergency, or you know, if you are cut off from the urban center, then what is the next source from where you can source your inputs? So this kind of a backup plan has to be ready. And even in terms of what are the transportation routes which you can use in case of a crisis, if your existing routes are blocked or they are not accessible. So this kind of a plan A, plan B needs to be there, which will, you know, keep you ready to manage or, you know, face any situation. So collaboration and stakeholder engagement. Collaboration is a key in rural supply chain. We have seen that because the collaboration is there between your suppliers, you know, with your community, with the cooperative, with the customers or the buyers who are actually using the produce that is produced by you, the logistics partners, etc. So all these are involved in the processing and these the entire supply chain, basically, that is production, processing and distribution. So some of these stakeholders are, one, the farmers and the producers. They are actually, you know, producing the material. They need to be trained and necessary support has to be provided to them for long-term stability and for risk mitigation. The other stakeholders are the cooperatives and the trade association. So wherever there is a cooperative, these organizations can help the farmers navigate the risk and advocate for a favorable policy. We mentioned this in the earlier chapters also, that the cooperatives and the communities, they can also be advocacy groups. That means they can make representations to the government for certain policies, certain infrastructure, etc. So wherever there are certain risks, there are certain improvements which are required, these groups, because, you know, they are representing large number of people, they have a better voice for negotiation or, you know, even for influencing the government, etc. Government bodies. So government intervention such as subsidies, insurance schemes and infrastructure development. So these are essential for mitigating the broader risk. We already saw that government today does have certain insurance schemes for the farmers, etc., especially for the smaller farmers. Infrastructure, because road conditions, bridges, be like we saw, you know, that there are some places where the bridges are very, very low. So when there is a flooding, the water starts flowing above the bridges. So the infrastructure development, this can be done only by the government. And naturally, they are one of the key stakeholders, and they need to be involved in infrastructure development, even in terms of conditions of the road, etc. Private sector are partners. So companies involved in processing, packaging, retail, they can also provide stability by working closely with rural suppliers to ensure consistent demand and pricing. So they can also help you, you know, sometimes mitigating the risk. And the risk we are talking about here is basically to smoothen the supply and the demand so that there are no fluctuations, because we have seen that in terms of the middlemen, they try to cover the material, you know, when the prices are low, and they stockpile the material and then they release it in the market at a much higher price. So when you have a partnership with the private sector partner who are basically into retailing, etc., you can actually have a very fair kind of a relationship or understanding where, you know, you are required to supply the material on a consistent and a uniform basis and at a fair price. Sustainability and long-term planning. So sustainable practices in agriculture and rural supply chain, this is important. It reduces the risks over a long term. So when we talk of, sustainability, we are talking of the agroecology and the climate smart agriculture. Climate smart is, you know, where we are using the drip irrigation and we are also using the dosing of the fertilizers, etc., in a very measured way so that we are not poisoning the earth, poisoning the soil. We are also promoting the soil health, you know, by water conservation, biodiversity, etc. And the agroecology is, you know, maintained or protected. So even, you know, using of the agro waste for your composting, etc. So thus you are actually removing the need for chemical fertilizers, etc. because composts are actually excellent bio fertilizers. So these are the practices which could go a long way in protecting the supply chain and the regulatory requirements. Circular economy, encouraging the reuse of resources. We already talked about composting, waste recycling, because I mean we have seen that currently we have the issue of parali burning in northern parts of India. So this is actually detrimental to the environment, and here there are more friendly methods already being explored for disposal of the parali, whereby you know you can do so in a friendly manner. You can use the parali for you know composting or for turning it into fertilizer, etc., and it does not harm the environment. So this can reduce the supply chain cost and environmental risk in the rural supply chain. So we will look at some of the tools which are used for the risk management. Risk management, which is the risk identification and the assessment of the risk, the impact of the risk, etc. So risk assessment tools are essential for identifying, evaluating and managing the risk. So for that, you need to prioritize the risks which have maximum impact. And those which have a high impact and a high probability, they need to be mitigated on priority. So these tools help organizations understand the potential threat, prioritize them, and develop strategies to mitigate the impact. In the context of rural supply chain, the most commonly used risk assessment tools are those that help analyze environmental, operational, economic risk, and ensure preparedness. So we will see what are the tools which are being used. So some of the tools we use are the risk matrix, which we also call as a risk heat map. The second one is the failure mode and effect analysis. In fact, this is a management tool which is even used in the industry, you know, for design of new products, etc., where you are looking at what are the failure modes and how you can redesign the product, you know, to prevent the failure of the product. The third one is the SWOT analysis, which is strength, weakness, opportunity, and threat. Monte Carlo simulation, bow tie analysis, and we'll go through each of these in a little while. HERA, or hazard identification and risk assessment. Then you have the Delphi method. You have a what if analysis. You have risk registers, and you have the cause and effect diagram, or what we call as a fishbone diagram or Ishikawa diagram. So risk matrix. So in a risk matrix, we have a matrix which has the probability of the risk on one side and the impact of the risk on the other axis. So probability is on the x-axis and the impact is on the y-axis. And we have these boxes. So it's common sense. Maybe we can look at the explanation. The matrix typically consists of a grid with likelihood probability on one axis and the impact or severity on the other. The risks are categorized into different zones based on their likelihood and potential impact, that is. So whether the impact is low, high, medium or high. So a risk matrix is a visual representation that charts the likelihood and severity of the risk to calculate the risk impact rating. And, you know, it's a graphical tool, so you can easily make out, I mean, any person with common sense can say which is the risk which has got a higher impact and which risk has least impact and can be ignored, or rather can be touched upon later.